Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. I'm back to Rhino's Hot Spots. I am back. I am very, very excited to be here, to be back with all of the viewers. You know, I want to talk about three different things. I'm going to head right into it because there's a lot of things to talk about. If you guys want to call in, you can go for 646-378-1303. Hopefully I have guests coming on. It's been a while since I've done this, so I'm excited to be back. But we'll start with the NBA free agency. I want to dial in a little bit into that real quick. We talked about the NBA free agency. You look at all the different moves. I personally think that we'll start with the Dwayne Wade in Chicago situation. Okay, Dwayne Wade snubs the Miami Heat to go to the Chicago Bulls. He went to college in Marquette. He grew up in Illinois, so it makes a ton of sense that he would actually decide to do this. I like the move. I think the move is very, very good for him. And let's keep in mind, you have Butler on the team. They got Rondo. So they have a pretty good core. I'm still no fan of their coach. I think, you know, he has a lot of work to do. I want to know they hired him, Hoiberg, when he came out of Iowa State. There's still a little bit of uncertainty that I have there. We'll definitely see how it all goes. But I really, really like Dwayne Wade coming here. I think it's a very, very good idea. I think him going to college in Marquette, it kind of opens the door for him to come back here. You know, you look at what happened. You look at the situation. Everyone's making a big deal out of it. I really don't think it's that serious, if you want to know the truth. But kudos to him for doing this. I think it's a good move. And, you know, Chicago might be a little bit better than they were last year because with Derrick Rose, he was always injured every single year, and he was there, and that's the problem. So he comes, Dwayne Wade. He didn't come for the titles. He has three titles for the money. And you know what? I have no problem with what he did. So that's one that I really, really liked. I guess let's go to the one that's not really free agency, but let's go to the one that the trade that was made. Derrick Rose goes from the Bulls to the New York. New York is a place you have to win. Look, you have Kristaps Porzingis, who played very well last year, in my opinion. You have Carmelo Anthony, who is a one-man show. All right, he doesn't play defense, so you know that's a problem. Jeff Hornacek's the new coach, which is good. I mean, with Phoenix, he really didn't have the supporting cast, so we'll definitely see what happens in New York because Bill Jackson is president. He doesn't play around. He wants to win, and as long as he wants to win, he'll definitely put a squad together that he wants. Look, they gave up a lot for Derrick Rose, but you have the three basically amigos on the team. And look, New York hasn't been competing for the last couple of years. It's been very, very damaging to watch. It's been very, very bad to watch. But you look at it, and you know what? I think it's a very, very good idea. You have New York and Brooklyn just is completely irrelevant. I mean, they have a lot of issues. But New York, they're trying to get back into what they were a couple of years ago, you know, when they had Mike D'Antoni and they had Woodson coaching and then all of that. But Carmelo can't do it by himself, so they have to give him somebody. Now, Derrick Rose, he can't afford to get hurt all the time. It's not going to be very, very good. So, you know, New Yorkers don't play around. You've got to be able to stay healthy. If you can't stay healthy, then really what good are you? You know, and especially in a place where if you lose, you're going to hear about it, you know? So, I mean, just as Eli Manning, you lose, you hear about it. The media will never, ever go away. So that's something that he really has to take into complete consideration. And, you know, we'll see how it works. I mean, I liked the move. I thought the reason why I brought this up is because I want to see how the chemistry between him and Carmelo are going to do because I know him and Carmelo are really good friends. Now Carmelo has to figure out how to neutralize himself being the number one. He's still going to be the number one. I mean, they paid him $100 million. They paid him $100 million for no reason. But he's most definitely going to be a guy that's, you know, the problem, they have to neutralize each other, and I think that they'll actually do that. I think it's going to be a very, very good pick. Now, oh, the Mike Conley situation, oh, geez. This was a head-scratcher to me. Mike Conley gets the largest contract in NBA history. You see, I have different people saying different things about this. I personally thought it was an atrocious deal. I mean, look, you have to lock up the shooter, right? He can shoot the ball. But is he really worth $150 million? That's something you pay Kevin Durant and LeBron James. You wouldn't pay Mike Conley, a guy who's barely on the court. You know, sometimes he gets hurt all the time. Like, he's a good defensive player. You know, I know they have Dave Fenzel, the former Miami Heat assistant. All right, he's going to have to score. All right, but the problem is he really a big shooter? Can he put 30, 20 points up a game? Because that kind of money, you're going to need to put up a lot of points. And if you can't put up a lot of points, then, I mean, really, if you really look at it, it's what? I don't really want to do math in my head, but it's about $20 million a year or $25 million a year. So he's got to be productive. Look, Memphis has Zach Randolph on the team. Okay, you have Marco Gasol, who you paid a lot of money to, I think $100 million. So Memphis is trying to keep their core players involved. And I don't think it's a problem. I just think the severity of that contract was ridiculous. It should really have not have been that big. But at the end of the day, Memphis needs to keep what they need to keep, you know, and Dave Yager goes to Sacramento. So we'll definitely see how Fizdale can do here. But Memphis, that was just, I mean, I understand the deal from his standpoint, because obviously he's going to turn down the money, and obviously he's the probably the only scorer they have. But I would have paid him, I would have paid him 80, 60, not 154. That's a little much, to be completely honest with you. The Matthew Dellavedova, Lord, eBay. Matthew Dellavedova. Here's a guy who really came out of his own in Cleveland. Look, him and LeBron were very, very close. They were very close. They had a great chemistry. And the NBA just broke the bank with all these contracts, right? I mean, Dellavedova gets, what, 10 a year? I think it was four years, $40 million or $38 million, somewhere around there. So, I mean, it's good for him. You know, he really didn't play a lot, so it's kind of interesting to see. But he could shoot threes, and he's going to Milwaukee with Greg Monroe, Jason Kidd. I don't even need to elaborate on him. But look, he's the exact same player Jason Kidd was. He can get assists, he can steal, he can shoot, he can do all that. Now, he's going to have to figure out, because Michael Carter-Williams is there, so interesting to see. I mean, Milwaukee's going places. You got Jabari Parker. Their roster is good. I mean, they still need a couple more pieces. We'll definitely see what happens, but I get the move. I mean, I like what Milwaukee did. All right, they went out. They got a guy. He won a championship. Good for him. He's got a lot of leverage because he won that title. So it's not really a bad idea for him to leave, right? I mean, he left. He won a title. Let's move on. Let's see what we have to do. So kudos to him on that deal. Timothy Mozgov. Timothy Mozgov goes to L.A., and this was one of the first deals, I think, that broke during the free agency, when he goes to the Lakers for $64 million, which, can somebody please explain to me this deal? Because I'm scratching my head. He comes over from Europe with David Blatt, I believe, when he was there. He's not there anymore. Neither is Timothy Mozgov. I mean, they paid him a lot of money. Look, if you really look at the roster, you have D'Angelo Russell, you have Jordan Clarkson, you have Ingram. These are all very young, talented. These are teenagers. So, I mean, I understand from that point of view, you wanted to get somebody who could have experience. But to pay the guy $64 million, look, Mozgov is a king in Europe with David Blatt. I mean, they've won, I don't know how many championships together, but this is a real deal, all right? He's going to a terrible team. They were the number two pick in back-to-back years. Luke Walton is the coach, and kudos to him, but the Lakers are just a mess. I mean, there's so many things going on, and call me crazy, but Kobe Bryant, I think, his career ended a long time ago. So now, you know, they're trying to figure out what to do post-Kobe. And to be honest with you, it's something that you really have to wonder what the Lakers were thinking. Look, I know Mitch Kupchak's basketball mind is good. I know the Bucks' basketball mind is good. But this was a deal that I was questioning a lot. This is a deal that I really think shouldn't have happened the way it happened. Hey, $64 million, he can't deny it. But they needed a big. They got a big. I don't know if it was a correct big to get, but we'll see what happens. I mean, the Lakers are still bad. I mean, they're dead. They literally have no depth on their team. So interesting to see what's gonna go in there. But right now, this is a disaster, is how I can put it, because it's chaos from the Lakers' standpoint. But now I'm going to get two more that I'm really interested in, two more that I really, really liked. I'm going to say Kevin Durant for last because that one's going to be very interesting. I like the Andre Drummond going to Detroit. This is not really the one I wanted to bring up, but I thought it was very good. It was something that I really, really liked. The Pistons retained him. They paid him a max deal, and what the Pistons have done is really, really good. But Al Horford goes to Boston. Now, Danny Ainge is very, very smart in basketball. He knows what he's doing. He's not stupid. He has a lot of draft picks going forward. The Rondo trade, the Terry trade, the Garnett trade, when he got all those picks, and then he gets rid of Rondo, I think, Sacramento, and now he's in Chicago. So Danny Ainge is smart business. He knows basketball. For God's sakes, he played basketball. He was very good at it. He's really good in Boston. So I understand what he's doing. You look at the next picks. It's very, very good. I like the Jaylen Brown pick that he got from Cal. I think that guy's going to be very, very good. You partner him up with Isaiah Thomas. There's speculation that they're going to get Russell Westbrook. I personally can't see that happening, but, you know, right now Oklahoma City, who knows? They're in a rut right now. But from Boston standpoint, look, Al Horford is a really, really good player. Okay, he's a good center. I knew he wasn't going to stay with Atlanta. It's kind of obvious when Dwight Howard went there, you really knew he was on the move. The question is where. It's over $100 million. I think it's, what, $113 million, something like that. It's a good move. For him, it's a good move because I actually like the decision he goes to Boston. Bradley Stevens, who I was very critical of when he came from Butler, has done an absolutely fantastic job with that team. Isaiah Thomas has done well. You have C.J. Solinger just went to Toronto. But, I mean, they have a very young, talented team. Cherry Rozier from Louisville that they got. Kelly Olynyk, who they got out of Gonzaga. So there's a lot of pieces there that Danny Ainge has worked, and Boston's going to be very, very competitive very soon. I think it's really Cleveland and Toronto. Boston's going to be a little four in there after Atlanta. But look, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I really, really like, and I really, really think that things are going to be very, very well for Boston. And it's interesting to see what the decision is. And we're going to take a station break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Kevin Durant, because going to Golden State, and if you guys want to chime in, 646-378-1303, it's going to be very interesting. I can't wait to see what happens, and I have a little bit to say about this, so we'll be right back with a couple of station breaks after this message.
When I want to listen to sports on the radio, I know there's only one place to turn to. A place that has all the latest and greatest news on my favorite teams. A place that is just as exciting as watching the real game itself. And that's with the Sports Hawks on Blog Talk Radio. Join hosts Will Hawkins, Brian Rojas, and T. Brooks as they debate the sports topics in the greater DC, Maryland, and Virginia area with real sports fans just like you who call in to talk sport. Do you want to chat with your favorite hosts? To listen or be part of the Sports Hawks, dial 646 07973781303. And who knows, maybe you'll end up on the radio too. The Sports Hawks, only on Sports Addicts Radio.
Join the original guru, Chris Bellina, as he talks about the NFL and fantasy football. Original guru Chris Bellina will give you the cold hard facts about your favorite NFL team and your favorite NFL and fantasy players. To listen in, go over to www.sportsaddicts.com and click on the show or dial 646-378-1303. You can also be part of the show with your questions or comments by dialing in and pressing number 1 on your phone to come on the show. That's the original guru. Only on Sports Addicts Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Reno's Hotspots. And what we're going to do now, I believe we have T on. T, how are you doing today? Thank you for coming on. T, are you there? I don't know if he's here or not.
Reno, okay. Hey, Reno, I'm here. I still have my phone muted on accident, but I'm having a good day.
Hope
you are.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I am. It's fun to be back, right? It's been a while since I've done the show, but I appreciate you coming. Now, I talked a little bit of, I know you've been listening since pretty much the whole show, but I've talked a little bit about the different deals that were made, the Conley deal. Now, the Kevin Durant deal I'm going to talk about right now, you know, we saw what happened. He took a 2-year deal, $54 million deal. He said he was very uncomfortable with his relationship with Westbrook, or he was agitated. Now, what is your thoughts on this deal? Do you think he jumped on the bandwagon? Because he could have took a lot of money somewhere else and went somewhere else, but he's on a team where right now their roster looks Andre Iguodala, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, you have Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant. I mean, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I definitely think he more or less hopped on the bandwagon. And I can't absolutely say that I knock him for that, because I've heard a couple guys make comments, guys saying, you know, well, different players, they jumped teams, but it was closer to the end of their career. They kind of compared it to Gary Payton, Karl Malone, saying, well, they left at the end of their career, you know, when they were later on in their career, didn't have much left. And that's when they went to the Lakers and they piled on trying to win a championship. And I said, well, how do people can speculate on how long they think a guy can play. But Kevin Durant might see that himself, might say, well, my window is closing especially because of the foot injury that he sustained. He probably doesn't know how much longer he's going to play. You know, nobody can really speculate that. You can always get an injury and your career could be over. In a way, you know, him not going for the money, because he definitely could have got more money from Oklahoma City and probably from Boston and a couple other teams that were willing to give him more money. But he went because he wants to win a championship. And when you're in a certain career, you want to be the best. And, you know, people like you and me, Rhino, yeah, right now we go for the money. But once you have millions and millions of dollars in your bank account, money doesn't always motivate you, and I think that championship is what's motivating him. So a lot of people could say what they would do in that position, but until you're in that position, you really can't say. So I can't say I'd knock him totally. I think he is jumping on the bandwagon a little bit, and if they don't win, it's going to be a lot of people with a lot of things to say about him, and even the Golden State Warriors, because a lot of people knocked them this year saying, well, they beat a team, you know, with just LeBron, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love was out and this, that, and the other. So it's that whole team still has a lot to prove, because with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving healthy, they lost to them. And, you know, Cleveland came back 3-1. So I think Golden State is also on the hook. Okay, you didn't get it done last year. Are you going to get it done now that you have KD? So I think all of them really still have something to play for. They have a lot to play for and a lot to prove.
I'm going to agree with you. Look, I've listened to a lot of these pundits on ESPN saying it was a coward way to go. Look, the guy wants a championship, right? I mean, that's what he's playing. I mean, that's what everybody's playing. He could have gone to Boston, G. He could have gone to Miami. They were going to pay him hundreds of millions of dollars. But I think you're right. And, you know, I hear all these people saying, you know, how can you lose? But let's flashback a little bit. LeBron James did the same thing, right, going to Miami. However, LeBron James in Cleveland was by himself. All right, he had his nobody. So he goes and recruits Chris Bosh, he recruits Dwayne Wade, and with the big three, we know what happened, okay? They win two titles together. Now, well, let's piggyback to this year. Look, I don't have a problem with what he did, all right? I think he was going to leave anyway, all right? You know, and I credit the Golden State front office, Jerry West, for orchestrating that. It was a great decision. Now, my whole thing is, I mean, he took $54 million, and from Oklahoma City standpoint, they're talking about dealing Westbrook. I mean, you know, Billy Donovan comes one game shy of going to the NBA Finals in his rookie year as a head coach. It was great. But if they deal Westbrook, I mean, Sam Presti, I mean, at some point in time, if you know Westbrook's not going to stay, wouldn't you want something in return, right? I mean, I just feel like there's something going on in Oklahoma City that we don't know. Look, and they got Sabonis right from the draft, who I liked. All right, you get Oladipo, but if they get rid of him, are they really in trouble? I mean, from Westbrook's standpoint, because Westbrook is a very key contributor, right, T? So if Westbrook leaves, he's going to be number one now. It's going to be his team,
yeah,
if you really look at it. So if they trade him away,
he's the man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Boston too, but they definitely can't just let him leave. And I don't think they're going to wait to see if he's going to come back or if he's just going to leave.
Yeah.
I think either they're going to have to sign him now and say, look, you're the future and we're going to build around you, or they're basically going to have to trade him and get something in return. And if he goes to Boston, I don't care what anybody says, they're automatically the favorite in the East. And
correct.
People could say, well, LeBron is the best. He is the best player in the league right now. But if you look at that cast of characters, and you already said it earlier, naming the people that they have, I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a budding star. And him and Westbrook together with Al Horford, I mean, and all the other young guys that they have. And, I really like Brad Stevens as a coach. And I think he's going to prove his worth. And I think he already has from, you know, coming from college and being able to be successful. But they're really giving him the pieces to actually get over the hump. So I think it's really three teams in the East: Cleveland 1, Toronto 2, just because, you know, they're there. And I think them getting Sullinger really helps them. I think it's going to add to their team. And I think Boston right now is 3. But if you put Russell Westbrook on that team, I think they leapfrog those two teams and automatically become the favorite, because Russell Westbrook is already – basically say one of the best 5 in the league. So, you know, one of the top 5 in the league. So, I mean, you look at LeBron, Westbrook, Curry, Durant, those are 4 of the best players in the league right there. And Boston definitely will have enough role players to contend or basically overtake Cleveland.
I mean, look at their depth chart. I mean, they have depth, right? They got Marcus Smart a couple of years ago. You got Kelly Olynyk. All right, the Jalen Brown pick, I like Jalen Brown. I liked him in Cal. I think he was an underrated player. He went number three. Everybody was so surprised. I think Danny Ainge knows what he's doing, right? Danny Ainge has a whole bunch of draft picks coming up in the next couple of years. They tried Durant. They didn't get Durant. If you can't get Durant, get the next best thing. Get his conspirator, if you really look at it. I mean, his co-teammate. But, I mean, it sounded like they did not get along at the end. You know, you could see a lot of body language that was not going well. But the final thing I want to get into, T, and just to piggyback on what I was saying earlier, the Mike Conley, what was that? I mean, they paid him $154 million. I disagree with the contract. I agree that they had to sign him. They made him the highest-paid player. I think it was an atrocious decision, right?
I think they're trying to stay relevant, and I think they feel keeping Conley keeps them relevant. He was hurt at the end of the season, and then you had Marc Gasol, who's still, you know, he's recovering from I think he had – didn't he have surgery on his broken foot or is he healing on his – yeah, so he's recovering from surgery. I mean – you look at Z-Bo, he's an aging player. He's good.
Yeah.
He's still, you know, a good player, but he's an aging player. And I think they're just trying to stay relevant, but they need more productive players on their team. And I just think they hindered themselves a little bit giving him that amount of money. So,
I mean,
I know the NBA, I think the owners just say, oh, well, the cap go went up. We'll get somebody else next year. But they really, they're in the West, and they have to definitely more players to stay relevant. Keeping Mike Conley, I don't think is going to keep them relevant.
I would agree. And if you really look at it, let's go back. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries, right? I mean, he's good when he's on the court. But he's had a lot of issues going on. If it's not for, you know, a knee injury or an arm injury or, you know, he broke his nose, right? I mean, there's something that happens, but I would agree with you. And I think the new coaching staff, and you're right, they're trying to stay relevant. That's why I think they made the decision to do what they did because they already paid, Gasol over $100 million. So interesting to see what's going to happen. And my final point about basketball, Tim Duncan announces his retirement. First ballot Hall of Famer. What a career he had. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely first ballot, class act. It's nothing bad that you can say about Tim Duncan. I mean, he was a quiet guy. He brung his game. And just think about that last game against Oklahoma City. He wanted to be out there and wanted to lead his team to victory. He just didn't have – they didn't have enough to contend with them, but he definitely showed fight till the end. And he also showed class and humility by coming off the bench and telling Pop, you know, hey, have those other guys start ahead of me. You know, I'll come off the bench.
Correct.
And for him to do that when he basically could have said, no, I'm starting every game. He doesn't have the ego that most superstars have. And I definitely take my hat off to him and wish him the best. I wish there was more guys like that in the NBA to just come to work and don't talk about what they are or what they do and all that. Just show it on the court. And I think the biggest controversy you could probably say in Tim Duncan's career wasn't even caused by him. I think the ref was a Joey Crawford.
Yeah.
That ejected him out of that game for
him
laughing.
I remember that, yeah.
He was laughing on the bench. So you can even look at this guy not having any controversy in his career except for controversy that somebody else caused. And immediately after that happened, because I was watching the game when it happened, and everybody was like, you know, on radio the next day, and, I mean, just all over the place on sports. It was like, what was he thinking, kicking, you know, Tim Duncan out of the game for something so stupid? I mean, everybody was on Tim Duncan's side.
The storylines were all over that. I remember that the media killed Crawford for doing that. It was pretty amusing, to be honest. but you're not wrong. You know, I loved Tim Duncan, and Tim Duncan, I have a sore spot because he beat my Pistons in one of, you know, the finals he's won, but the guy was a phenomenal player. I don't have a negative thing to say about him. You're right. Does he go down as one of the top five centers on my list? What about you? We're losing you, T. We're losing you. the guy was great. Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, Tim Duncan was very, very good. He was just a personable guy. So, I mean, I liked him as a person. I think he was very humble, great Hall of Famer, in my opinion. And when a coach says he has a hole in his heart now that you left, you made a good impression. And Popovich is one of the best coaches in the NBA. So, he will definitely be missed. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about the NFL, NFC East. I'm going to break down, not each division tonight, but a division that every week until the season starts. It is going to be so much fun. T, the season's starting soon. I cannot wait to hear what you have to say. NFC East, I picked this one first because this one's a little bit different. I mean, every single year, a different team wins the division. So when we come back, we're going to take one commercial break. And when we come back, it's going to be interesting to see these NFC East and what. I have a couple of thoughts on it. So we will be right back after this message.
This Sports Addict segment is brought to you by Sunrise Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. Owner Louis Sardi has more than 20 years of professional cleaning experience. They provide you with the highest quality service at the best price possible here in the Las Vegas area. Lou Sardi and his team provide service that is well beyond their competitors. The services provided are carpet and upholstery cleaning, carpet repair, odor removal, and tile and grout cleaning, and they work Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. To contact Sunrise Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning, dial 702-454-5393 or go over to sunrisecarpetupholsterycleaning.com.
Welcome back to Rhino's Hot Spots. It is going, I'm going to be changing the name of my topics or my name. It's going to be called Sports Mania. SportsMania. It's going to be different. I wanted something a little bit different to enact because I did that when I was 17, you know. So going to be very, very interesting. I cannot wait. But to talk about the NFL, NFC East, there's a lot of stories. I mean, the draft happened and everything else. I'm going to start off with, I'll give you the Redskins last because I know it's your favorite team. I'll start off with the Giants because the Giants were busy in the free agency. I mean, you look at Olivia and Vernon, they got Janoris Jenkins. They got pretty much everybody you would think that they could get. They spent over $200 million on defense. Tom Coughlin's gone. You have the new head coach. For some reason, I cannot think of his name right now. the offensive coordinator, Ben McAdoo. That's what it is. Ben McAdoo, he comes in. You have a completely new team. Eli Manning is playing under somebody under the name of Tom Coughlin for the first time in 12 years in his entire career. So, T, I don't know if you can hear me now, but what is your thoughts on the Giants? What is your take on them? Because they were busy this offseason, right?
Yeah, they definitely were. I think what happened was they basically made, to me, they made Tom Coughlin the scapegoat. And I think the general manager did it more than anything. He made him the scapegoat because I think the owner probably told him this needs to be fixed. And Coughlin did do some questionable things. He didn't get Odell Beckham in line in that game. You know, that basically some of the things that went on probably hurt their chances of beating the Carolina Panthers when Odell Beckham and Josh Norman kept going at it.
We'll talk about that in a little bit because I want to know your thoughts on that.
Right. Yeah, but that's, you know, to me, that wasn't Tom Coughlin's style. To me, he's more that military-type boot camp, keeping people in line. And it was kind of, you know, out of his character, out of what he regularly does to not get this player in and, you know, get him in check. So I think the GM kind of made – the GM or the owner kind of made Tom Coughlin a scapegoat. And I think the owner probably said, okay, now let's see what goes on. And now all of a sudden the GM goes out and he spends a lot of money on a defense. And I definitely think they got some good pieces. They definitely spent in the right areas because they – definitely needed help at corner. I didn't understand the Eli Apple pick in the draft, but you know,
I'm with you there.
I think they could have done something differently in the draft, but they had to bolster that defense, and I think they're going to be improved this year. I think they're going to be one of the better teams, but what a lot of people think. A lot of people say, oh, well, McAdoo's been there because he's been an offensive coordinator. Well, being a coordinator and being a head coach are two different things. And everybody's not set out to be that. So I wouldn't have the highest expectations for this team. But I think in this division, which is, you know, who knows who's going to win type division, they may come out on top. You know, but I think it's between two teams in my opinion, and I think the Giants are one of those teams that can win the division.
I'm inclined to agree with you. And look, I mean, Coughlin was there for what, 12 years, something like that. I mean, he won two Super Bowls. I mean, his record was pretty good. I mean, he broke Parcells' record for the most wins in Giants history. And might I add, Parcells is in the Hall of Fame. I think he's a great coach. In my opinion, I think he's headed to the Hall of Fame because of his numbers are so good. Not only with them, with Jacksonville, and you know, and he was the one who recruited Matt Ryan. So he knows talent. He did a really, really good job. Now, my question to you about the Giants, real quick, and then we're gonna head on to the Eagles. But my question to the Giants, real quick, with Eli Manning. Had a great year last year, in my opinion, but it was underlooked. Odell Beckham Jr. is we all know what he is. We'll get into the Beckham and Norman situation because there's a lot that happened over the week. They're having a Twitter war. But did you think that McAdoo can control Odell Beckham Jr.? Because if you remember the game, he went off against him in Carolina. What do you think about that? And did you think it was a good hire?
I don't know if he's going to be able to keep to me, Odell Beckham has an ego already because I think he's gotten a lot of accolades. So I think he needs to be reined in a little bit, but I don't know if McAdoo can. But he's probably worked with him more closely as being an offensive coordinator than even Tom Coughlin. So I think if anybody could rein them in between McAdoo and Eli, I think they could rein them in a little bit. I mean, he's a heck of a talent. He's one of the top probably four receivers in the league. So I think if they rein him in, this guy is definitely going to show his worth. But he has to definitely control himself a little better.
Yeah, I mean, he can't keep going on Twitter, right? We're definitely going to, because this Twitter war between him and Josh Norman is very, very interesting. But let's go to Philadelphia real quick. You have a new head coach, right? I think they hired Doug Peterson, the offensive coordinator from the Chiefs. You have a mess at the quarterback position because you don't even know who's going to be the starter. One day it's Bradford, one day it's Wentz. With Philadelphia and everything that they've done, and let me say the Fletcher Cox signing, I think they signed into, $100 million, their best defensive tackle, which was, I think, was a fantastic decision. But what is going on with Philadelphia, T? Because I look at this team, and I'm just like, what's going on? Because they're still a mess. I mean, it's just Kelly got rid of everybody, as we remember, as we all basically bashed him for. I mean, this is just a mess, right? So talk to me about Philadelphia right now. my thoughts exactly.
I mean, they're definitely a big question mark. And to me, they kind of upset the apple. Yeah, they upset the apple cart by – first of all, signing Bradford to that deal. I didn't understand that. And then trading up the way that they did to get a quarterback. So, and then also signing their backup quarterback to a big deal. It's like they have so much money tied up in a quarterback position. And, of course, you know, Wentz is a rookie, so – they don't have to pay him an exorbitant amount of money, but he still is the second pick in the draft. So he still did get good money. And, you know, with Fletcher Cox, it was one of those situations where they had to pay him. He's the best defensive player on the team. But that's a good little bit of money, especially with all the moves they made in the last couple of years, or Chip Kelly's made to kind of – mess them up, you know, and put them in a position. So it's definitely I think they have a longer road than a lot of people say, because they don't, you know, at the running back position, they have Matthews, they have Sproles. Matthews, he's hurt every year. Yeah. Darren Sproles is not a big fact. So, I mean, are you going to depend on Sam Bradford? He doesn't stay healthy. So are you going to depend on them to really say that you have a formidable offense that you're putting out on the field every week? I think, and then with the receivers, you know, a lot of people talk about their receivers, Matthews, Aguilar. I mean, you really don't know what you have with these guys, because last year they dropped a lot of passes. I mean, they have so many question marks, so I don't think it's going to be as good of a year as a lot of people think that the Eagles are going to have, especially with a new coach and all these crazy – I mean, they had to fix some of the mess that Chip Kelly left behind, but with the quarterback position, all that money, that was kind of crazy to me.
T, everything you just said, I absolutely agree with, because – I looked at what they did, and I think his name is Chase Daniel, right, who Doug Peterson brought over from Kansas City.
Yep.
And then they go and trade the entire plant for the quarterback from North Dakota, Carson Wentz, who they said he's inactive for week one but could play week two depending on how things are going. And then Chase Daniel could become the backup, and Bradford's unhappy. This is like a three-headed triangle. This is a mess. And then you're absolutely right about the wide receivers. I completely agree with you, because basically Zach Ertz was the star last year, and Rossini. I mean, he was catching everything, all right? And then you have Selleck, who, you know, I'm not a big fan of. But let's take it back to the defense. Besides Fletcher Cox, they have no defense, T. They have nothing. And Doug Peterson – this is the job I would have wanted to have if you really looked at it from his standpoint, because he's in no position to win, right? Jeffrey Luria basically knows this is going to be a rebuilding process. And it was his fault by giving Chip Kelly all of that power, and Chip Kelly showed us what he does with power. He just basically destroys everything. But my whole thing with Philadelphia is the quarterback position, and you're right about Ryan Matthews. I mean, I think Darren Sproles is what the new running back, right? Because DeMarco Murray is in Tennessee, so this is a disaster. But Bradford, and then you have Wentz, and then you have Daniel. You're right about the money. Who's going to start week one? That's what I want to know. I know they got Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator and Frank Reich as the offensive coordinator, but you're right. This is a lot of work that they need to get done. So I'm going to piggyback on the terrible Eagles, and let's go to Dallas. There's a report today, I don't know if you saw it, about Ezekiel Elliott having a domestic violence situation in Columbus, Ohio, reportedly beating up his girlfriend. I mean, if they don't go to Dallas, it wouldn't be normal, right, if they don't have an incident when they go to Dallas. Randy Gregory is being suspended. Hardy's not there anymore. I mean, Dallas has Tony Romo back. You know, you have Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant. What's your take on Dallas's off season, and what do you think is going to happen?
I hear a lot of speculation about Dallas also. I mean, I've heard that Ezekiel Elliott might be the rookie of the year. You know, people still talk about their offensive line, which with DeMarco Murray behind that offensive line, it was a great offensive line, and they are good. But a lot of people tend to forget that Tony Romo got hurt twice behind the offensive line. He shouldn't have came back, but I think he was rushed back a little bit. I think Dez Bryant was also. And then he got hurt against Carolina behind that offensive line. So was it the offensive line? Tony Romo upright. And all actuality, before that, when DeMarco Murray wasn't there, he was the rest of the team. Behind that offensive line. So people have to stop putting so much on that line and thinking you can put it back there. Better team than they were this year, but that defense has so many questions, especially with things that hadn't been addressed. And then Ramsey, he's definitely not playing this year. Who knows if he'll ever play again? You know, their draft pick that they selected. I think they got him in the second round.
Yeah, Jalen. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then with Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, his father came out and said these rumors were lies. But who knows? I mean, it's just hard. I think people could score, 30 points, but can they stop other teams from scoring 35? That defense, they have so many suspensions. Again, they really hadn't addressed it the way that I thought they would. And, you know, Sean Lee, to me, is their best defensive player, but he's hurt all the time. So, to me, doubt a lot of question marks, but they're not on the offensive side. They're on the defensive side. If you can't stop anybody, it doesn't matter how many points you put up if you can't stop the opposition. So, I just don't see them being as high. I'm not as high on them as a lot of other people are. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Redskin fan. I'm definitely being honest about how I feel. I think if you don't have a defense that can stop people, it's going to be difficult.
I agree. And I agree with every single point that you made. Look, when they had DeMarco Murray, that team was explosive. Okay, that team was phenomenal. All right, then we had an issue, right, with DeMarco Murray saying he wanted more money. He basically gave them an ultimatum, me or Dez Bryant. And they chose Dez Bryant, obviously, and good for them. Then he goes to, you know, in Philadelphia. That didn't work out. He's in Tennessee. Now, okay, I hate to do this, Aaron, okay, but I am a big fan of their line, but, I mean, come on. The defense has issues. Randy Gregory is suspended. Ronaldo McClain is suspended, who I think is overrated anyway, and he should never have been taken 10th, but we had Al Davis. So I'm just going to point that out, right? So then he goes to Dallas. He's terrible, right? And Jalen Smith, who knows if he's going to play? Claiborne is just, to me, a joke. I mean, this is the worst part of their is on their defense. And look, you know, Tony Romo's back. He's had, what, 2 collarbone injuries in the same year. You know, he's going to need to stay upright. I don't know a lot about Ezekiel Elliott. It broke today. I saw the statement by his dad, and the girlfriend has a police report against him. And this is just a lot of controversy. And Jerry Jones, he sure knows how to pick him, right, G? But what I'm a little bit skeptical about is, I mean, if you really look at this team, I don't see a lot of deaths, right? I mean, I could be crazy, but, I mean, the depth is good on offense, but really – they have Orlando Scandrick, who they mean, but, you know, at some point, I'll give you my predictions. They're going to be shocked if I have Dallas. But I'm not a big fan. I'm no fan of Jason Garrett, you know, in all due respect. You have a puppet becoming a head coach. I'm no fan of that, but we'll save that for a different day. And now the Washington Redskins. Oh, T, before we get in – oh, we lost T. All right. Well, before we get into the Washington Redskins, I'm going to segue a little bit into this ridiculous Twitter war that's going on between Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr. Look, okay, well, let me see if I can figure out a way to word this the correct way. This was a mess between the two of them. They were fighting all the time, and we saw what happened when Odell Beckham Jr. lost his mind. Josh Norman wasn't an innocent party in this. Okay, we have to remember that. Everybody's blaming Josh Norman. I mean, everyone's blaming Odell Beckham Jr., and Josh Norman isn't innocent. He had a lot of things happen, and, you know, they went after each other. They're going after each other on Twitter. There was a tweet basically saying he was better, and Josh Norman says he doesn't have to listen to this, and he's amused by it. Okay. Now, this is going to be very fun to watch. Let me put it to you that way, because we are all going to watch Josh Norman against Odell Beckham Jr. 2 times a year. It is so fun. It's going to get all the juices flowing. We're going to have, I cannot wait to see that. But with the Redskins standpoint, you have Kirk Cousins, who did well last year. I got to give him that. I was wrong, and I would admit that. I was definitely wrong about Kirk Cousins. I don't know if he's a one-year wonder. I have to see how it goes, but I liked what he did. The running game is non-existent, to be honest with you. You got Matt Jones, right? I mean, that's great. They lost Alfred Morris. The receivers, I love the pick of Josh Doctson. I thought he was one of the smartest picks they could have made. I think he was a great pick. He gives them a certain sense of stability because Pierre Garçon is, I'm no fan of. I mean, he drops a lot. Sean Jackson's hurt a lot. So he's going to bring in, and he's going to be a little bit more diverse than what you normally would expect. I cannot wait to see how he works. He was one of my favorite wide receivers coming out of TCU. I liked him. I thought he was good. And with him and Trayvon Boykin, they worked well together. Now, the tight end, Jordan Reed, is to me one of the top 3 tight ends in the game. I mean, behind Gronkowski. I like it. I think he's good. He's one of the best players, if not the best receiver on their team. Kudos for them on that. Their defense. Okay. Their defense is good. Ryan Kerrigan is good. You have Josh Norman now, right? I mean, you have a couple of good corners. So, look, this is a team that won the division, and you can say what you want. They won the division fair and square, all right? A lot of things happened last year. We had injuries to Romo. Eli wasn't – I mean, it took a while for the Giants to get on track. Philadelphia was just absolutely a joke. So, regarding the Washington Redskins, Kirk Cousins wasn't signed to a long-term deal. He's under a $20 million, I think it was, franchise tag. So I think it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be the Giants and the Redskins going into this. Look, I don't really like Philadelphia, but with the Redskins, they have a lot of leverage. They won. Gruden did pretty well considering the circumstances he was in. So on that note, all I got to say is I'm picking the Giants to win, Washington in second, Dallas in third, and Philadelphia in fourth. It's going to be a very close race between – look, I am no fan of Jerry Jones, and Tony Romo's all right when it comes to the regular season. He's good, and for fantasy, if you need him, a quarterback, I would say Tony Romo because he's a good fantasy quarterback. But I still have my reservations about other teams going forward. But on that note, what we're going to do, I believe we got T back. Hold on. T, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back, guys. I'm traveling a little bit, so I hit a spot.
I don't want to keep you.
It just killed my phone, man.
I appreciate you coming on the show, though. I seriously do. But I'm talking a little bit about Washington, and I know you wanted to chime in on this a little bit, but Washington is in a situation. They won the division last year. Kudos to them. I'm very, very happy for them. And you can say what you want, but I think they won fair and square, right? I mean, you can make excuses all you want, but Romo got hurt. Yeah, it was unfortunate. Okay, the Giants were never there. Philadelphia was just atrocious last year. But with Kirk Cousins, this is your team. So you give me your overview on what you saw last year and what you're going to see this year.
Well, I wanted to clear up one thing, too. I do it on a regular basis where I've done it like three or four times. I keep saying Jalen Ramsey, but it is Jalen Smith for the Cowboys.
Smith, yeah.
I did make that mistake. Yeah, but last year, people could say whatever they want to about how bad the division was. Somebody had to win it. Somebody had to be the best of the worst. We were the best of the worst if people want to make that excuse. If we were so bad or not good enough, then the other team should have won. Philadelphia had a chance to win. The Giants, they were okay at the beginning of the year and then went downhill. And like you say, people make the excuse of Tony Romo getting hurt, but every team gets injuries. It doesn't happen to the quarterback on a regular basis, but it happens. You know, you got to plug and play and, you know, get around that. But anyway, with the Redskins, we still weren't good on defense. What helped the Redskins' defense was the ability to get takeaways and those turnovers with the offense clicking the hole. The offense was definitely a lot more ahead of the defense. So with the defense getting a lot of takeaways, that helped the Redskins get to 9-7 and win. You're not going to be able to do that all the time. You're not going to be able to do it with smoke and mirrors. The run defense was horrible. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Redskins let Terrence Knighton go. A lot of people say, well, you need a nose tackle if you're going to play the 3-4. Well, they don't play the 3-4 most of the time anyway. It's a hybrid scheme, and you know, it's just, to me, it's overrated what you call a defense. Just be a good defense, and I don't care if you play 3-4, 4-3, you know, 5-2. I don't care what you play as long as it's successful. And they have to get a lot better and get more push. And like I said, they got a good bit of sacks last year. Preston Smith was a rookie, got 8 sacks. So they pressured the quarterback pretty good. It was the run stopping. I mean, they couldn't stop the run. And that was really what killed, you know, the defense. The secondary was more improved, but it was a plug-and-play secondary. A lot of the guys in the secondary were hurt, and we ended up playing with a lot of backups in that secondary. So the defense has to be much improved. I think they have made some improvements in that aspect. Junior Gallette is going to be hopefully healthy this year, and that'll help put even more pressure on the quarterback. But with Josh, the signing of Josh Norman, I think moving D'Angelo Hall to safety last year was a big help. Rashad Breeland, I think, is going to help on that defense. So I think that's going to be the key to them being able to win the NFC East again. The offense definitely has a lot. They have a lot to hold up to because, as I said before, the Giants, they have improved on the defense, and they definitely improved on that defensive line. So the Redskins want to be successful. They have to keep Kirk Cousins clean. And that's going to be the key to the offense altogether. I mean, the running has to get better. They got a lot of rookies, so that's a question mark. I mean, you got Matt Jones, second year. He had fumbleitis last year. Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson is a smaller running back, and he gets hurt a lot. And then you have a guy that was on the practice squad last year. You have a rookie who's coming off a knee surgery, I think, the year before last, and Keith Marshall. But he was a 7-round pick. So I think they have to do something at the running back position. But I think the key is that offensive line on the offense. And a run game will help the offensive line. But that's about it in a nutshell. If the defense improves, if they improve and continue to get takeaways, I think the Redskins have a chance to win the NFC East again. If the defense is the same as it was last year, I think they repeat as the NFC East champions.
Yeah, and I mean, there's like a code, or there's like a, you know, pattern. Like, not the same team repeats every year; it changes, but. Look, I liked Preston Smith came out of Mississippi State, if I'm not mistaken, and he was a beast then.
Yep.
All right, he did really well in Mississippi State, so I really really liked that guy. I thought he was good. Ryan Kerrigan is somebody who nobody even mentions. I get you guys confused. it's hard. Trent Williams, right? I mean, the guy is one of the best linemen in the game, and nobody even talks about this guy. But I know this guy. He came out of my college in Oklahoma. He was very, very good. I really, really liked him. You're right about the running game. Now, Kirk Cousins, I got to see if he's a one-year wonder. But, all right, I loved the pick by Josh Doctson. Okay, I loved him at TCU. I thought he was an extraordinary pick. You get some stability in the wide receiving position. Plus, you have one of the best tight ends, pretty much of the top 5 tight ends in the game, in my opinion, and Jordan Reed, who is phenomenal. So, Josh Doctson coming out of TCU, did you like that pick? Because I thought it was a slam dunk.
Well, when it first happened, I'm going to be totally honest. It was more of a head scratcher to me. I was like, what? Why aren't we getting some D linemen? I mean, what's going on? You know, why did we go defense, nose tackle? I mean, it was different things that I wanted with that first pick. But after thinking about it and digesting it for a couple of days, I said, yeah, it was definitely a good pick. I mean, it's another weapon for the offense. Now, my reservation with it right now is Doctson was hurt in his last year at TCU, and he was hurt and held out of many camps. So I kind of question his durability a little bit, and, you know, that is a cause for concern on a team where you have DeSean Jackson, which is our best deep threat, but he's prone to have hamstring injuries. And Jordan Reed, to me, is the key to a lot of the passing game because he can't be covered by an average linebacker or average safety. I think they have to be a better, you know, a topper echelon linebacker or safety if they want to cover Jordan Reed. But he has durability issues also. He was a lot more healthy last year than he has been after his initial injuries, a concussion, and I think he had a slight knee or something else. After those injuries, he was pretty much healthy the rest of the year. So hopefully he can stay healthy, and staying healthy is going to be the key to that wide receiving core. But if they all are healthy, I mean, with Crowder, Gersaud, Doxson, Jackson, Fred, I mean, Vernon, I was about to say Fred Davis, he's long gone. Vernon yeah. Davis and Jordan Reed, I mean, that's a heck of a lineup to be able to put out there. So health is going to be the thing with that. And Doxson, if he can stay healthy, I think he's definitely going to be worth that first-round pick.
Correct, and I remember the injury. But with the chemistry he had with Trayvon Boykin at TCU was phenomenal. And I thought he was, to me, one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers coming out of this draft. I was hoping another team would get him. I'm glad it was nobody in my division. But I think you know what team I wanted. I was hoping the Raiders would come back up. But, look, the guy's good. And, you know, I commend Scott McLuhan. I have to give him a ton of credit. He has done an absolutely fabulous job. Now, the million-dollar question, or two questions I have for you, all right? And then I'm going to probably end the show a little bit earlier. But you know, I wanted to get a little bit into the NFL. Now, okay, but this Twitter war that's going on between Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. tweeted him the other day saying, you know, don't be scared of me, da-da-da-da. And then Josh Norman went on a radio show, I don't know if you saw it, but saying, believe me, the last person I'm scared of is you. Look, this Twitter war is nuts. It's a little bit ridiculous. But what is your take on this? It is going to be so fun to watch these two head-to-head for two games a season.
Well, the main thing is they definitely have to tap Odell Beckham down if they want to win the game. Because if both guys get thrown out of the game for doing something stupid, then, you know, that's a win. You know, that's a – I'm not going to say that that's an automatic win for the Redskins, but that's a sort of a win in situation because if you take your best receiver off of the field, you know, we can kind of go without Josh Norman if we go without Odell Beckham Jr., you know. It's not an even swap to me, even though Josh Norman would be – arguably be the best corner on the team. But Odell Beckham, he definitely has to keep his emotions in check. And one of the things that I heard, it was an interview in GQ where Odell Beckham basically said that he made Josh Norman relevant. And, you know, off of that, Josh Norman basically said that he really didn't care about the whole situation. I didn't know they went back and forth on Twitter, so that's even worse. You know, they're fueling up the fire even before the game gets anywhere close. You know, we hadn't even started training camp yet. Calm down, gentlemen.
I agree. It's just fun to watch. I mean, these two go at it. And remember that game against Carolina? And I know we talked about it. We talked about it for weeks, right, after it ended. But when Odell Beckham Jr. came out there and basically just hit him straight on with a face mask, they were throwing jabs at each other, they were tripping each other. These two guys cannot stand each other, okay? And when he goes to Washington, Odell Beckham Jr. tweeted a picture of the four Super Bowl rings and sent it over to him and said, "We have more than you." Some things you don't need to say, but in your – I mean, I love Josh Norman going over to Washington. This is another good move by Scott McLuhan to do, but – is there anybody that can control Odell Beckham Jr.? Because this guy just goes off the deep end, T. I mean, he says stupid things. You know,
well,
so it's like,
I mean, he can tweet a picture of four Super Bowl trophies, but he doesn't have any. You know, he doesn't have any rings on his finger.
Exactly.
And neither does Josh Norman, but Josh Norman did play in the game last year, so that's – you know, that's a crazy tweet to put out there. I mean, if you were a part of winning one of them, then, yeah, you could stick it in somebody's face. But, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see these two guys go at it because Odell Beckham, he's definitely a top-flight wide receiver. And they got to keep him in check because if they don't, they're losing a lot of their offense. If whether the guy makes a catch or not, he draws your best defender. And sometimes he draws a double team. But if you take him off of the field, who does the other team have to be scared of? You know, so they definitely have to keep him under control and keep their best weapon, keep that high-powered bullet. You got to have it in the gun. So when it's time to fire it, you know, You can fire that kill shot, but if you don't have that in your arsenal, it's going to be a big loss. So they definitely got to keep him in check. He has to keep his emotions under wraps himself, you know.
I mean, that is a good point because, you know, and when they lost him the next game against Minnesota, Eli Manning had nobody to throw to and got destroyed in that game. I don't know if you remember if you watched that game, but I watched halftime. It was over. Because Eli had nobody to throw to. So, I mean, you know, you're right. He's the most – I think he's maybe the most important person on the team, minus Eli Manning, because they can't afford to lose him, so he's got to keep his emotions in check. But who do you have winning this division? And then we're going to be going to Dennis Green, and then I'm going to end it there.
I'm definitely – I'm going to be honest with you. I can say the Redskins – that's kind of, it's really hard for me because
I think we lost T. But I have the Giants, the Redskins, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it's going to be, a brutal season for the Eagles. But to piggyback, and I was going to do a baseball thing, but at this point I have to do a little bit more topics on that. But my whole thing here, and it's very, very interesting, it's interesting because our hearts were lost today when Dennis Green – unfortunately, passed away of a heart attack. It is very, very sad. The guy was a very good coach. He got a 1996 NFC Championship game. Unfortunately, they weren't able to win that game. But, I mean, Dennis Green, you know, I think he was a Big Ten Coach of the Year, Coach Stanford. My heart goes out to him. You know, I really... and his family. Look, Randy Moss said he was a great coach. I have nothing but respect for what Randy Moss said. I mean, he was a great guy all around. He was known for that, you know, big and wild press conference that he had. The guy was a great coach. He was a great competitor. He loved the game of football. Waking up today, finding that was very, very hard to see. But you know, it's a difficult situation. But at the end of the day, it happens, you know, and I wish the Green family all the best of luck. He was a good coach. Now, I was going to end the show, but I can't end the show on a bad note, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over each division in the MLB, talk about it, and give different takes and different opinions. I'm just going to go really quick, and it's going to take no more than 10, 15 minutes. The AL East, you have a three-way race between Toronto, Baltimore, Boston. Boston's a little bit better than I thought they were going to be in retrospect. I think Boston has incredible fight. Dave Dombrowski has done a good job putting that team together, so kudos to there. I'm picking Baltimore to win this division. I think that they have it. They need at the deadline to go and get some pitchers, because if they can't get pitchers, then they can't be effective. You can hit as many home runs as you can, but you got to get rotation pitching, and I don't think that they have that. The Central. The White Sox came out guns blazing and did what they did best. They choked. Unfortunately for them, it was very, very difficult. I'm hearing Chris Sale is on the move, which would be very, very bad. However, Chris Sale is a very good pitcher. Started the All-Star game. Fantastic. Robin Ventura, pack your bags, your history, because I can't imagine Jerry Reinsdorf keeping him any longer, to be honest with you. Cleveland was my pick to start the season. I wanted them to win. I think that they have the ability to win. This team is phenomenal. The defending World Series champions are in third place in this division. They've had so much injuries. Lorenzo Cain has been injured. We've had a couple of the rotation isn't doing what they want. They lost Ryan Matson. Wade Davis is coming back. So it's been a little bit of a mess there for the Central part of it. Now, the AL West, it's the Battle of Texas. I mean, what are you going to say? You know, Seattle came on top, on fire. Again, they weren't able to separate themselves and, you know, put a lot of distance between the rest of them. However, look, Jerry DePoto, I have zero respect for. I don't really like him at all. But he is trying to put a coach who's never managed before, so that's a little bit interesting. Felix Hernandez just came back from the DL. Nelson Cruz is on this team. Cano is on this team. We'll see what happens. It's going to be brutal for Seattle. Seattle has a lot of losing seasons. I think they have, what, the record of the most in MLB history, and that's continuing for the playoffs drought that they have. But it's a battle of Texas. Houston was absolutely atrocious, and they come in, and they're doing a really, really good job. I really like what Houston's doing. I think they've done pretty well. I mean, considering where they were, A.J. Hinch, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal job he's done. Altuve is doing well. You have Erasmus doing well. Carrera is doing well. I mean, all these prospects, Jason Marsnick is doing well. So this pitching staff, Dallas Keuchel, still needs a lot of work to do. Colin McKellar's, look, this is a good team. They need work. They need help. So we will definitely see how it goes. Oh, my goodness. Now, I personally believe that the Rangers are in the lead in this division, rightfully so. I think they're going to stay in the lead in this division. Boy, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, are the Rangers very good. But they better be careful, because Houston is right on their tail, so they can't keep losing. Now, for the NL, let's go to the West. The Giants and the Dodgers, it's a two-team race. I actually think the race has already been decided, because if the Dodgers don't have Clayton Kershaw, they're going to have issues, and, you know, they're going to need to be actively at the deadline. Andrew Friedman is going to be on his phone quite a bit, fielding phone calls, as he should. Dave Roberts has come in. They did a relatively good job, but this is an even number year. And, look, the Giants have won 3 World Series in, what, 5 or 6 years, dating back to 2010, 12, and 14. So we're going to keep the trend going. They have done a marvelous job. They went into the All-Star break as the best record. they've been on a little bit of a skid lately. But look, Bruce Bochy knows how to do it. He's going to Cooperstown. Phenomenal job he's done. Kudos to him. I think the Giants are winning the division. The Central. I think it's the Cubs division to lose. I mean, what they did in free agency in the offseason was absolutely phenomenal. Jason Hayward, they get it from St. Louis, their division rivals. Okay? They come in, they re-sign Dexter Fowler, he signed with Baltimore, and that was a mess. John Lackey comes over from Boston. Okay? All right. And then you have Bryant back. You have Rizzo back. They trade Starlin Castro to make some room to get Ben Zobrist, who knows Joe Maddon like a book, coming off the World Series champion Royals. This is a team that knows what they're doing. Okay? Theo Epstein has put this in motion. And Theo, look, won two World Series titles in Boston. I think he knows how to win. So, unfortunately, every team is going to go on this skid. For Cubs fans, I wouldn't have to worry. This is their division to lose. And for the first time in about 5 years, the Cardinals are not going to win the division. And very, very unfortunate for them. And then finally, the East. Boy, has Dusty Baker made a difference in Washington. Oh, my goodness. Dusty Baker has done an absolute phenomenal job. In my opinion, he is manager of the year without question in the NL. He has done marvelous. Bryce Harper has done well. Carter has done well for them. Murphy has been outstanding coming over from the Mets. He's playing like he's on a mission right now. Strasburg finally got his first loss, but he's in contention for Cy Young. This is a good team. Mets are having issues. Marlins are better than I thought they were. So my overview so far is it's going to be fun, but the trade deadline is going to be everything. I'll break that down coming up in next week. I haven't decided if I'm going to do a show next week. I promised Jerry that I would do a show from now on, and they are going to be called Sports Mania. It's going to be fun. It's going to be energetic. It's going to be exciting. So next week, I believe I will be out of town. So the following week, I will be able to do it. So it'll be very, very good and very, very fun. Thank you, G, for coming on. I definitely will be on Sport Talks. It means a lot to me. And what's coming up later is Sports Addicts will be taking off here. I have a couple of phone calls to make and different things to do. So thank you guys for listening in. And I'm back and better. And I will see you in 2 weeks. But I definitely be on for Will and T. Show for the Sports Talks. Have a good one.